Small moments and experiences in our lives that go unnoticed, that we take for granted. The people and the stories that inspire us. The books we adore, the podcasts we can't stop listening to, the music that makes us tap our feet. All this and more in another round of Earholes and Eyeballs on Hyperlink Radio. Stay tuned.
Hyperlink is the connection. Connection.
Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 7 of Hyperlink Radio. I'm today's host, Known Wells, Feely Human and Silly Boy. Hyperlink Radio is a biannual series of podcast episodes that explores how we connect with each other, with our technology, and with the world around us. We are proudly produced by Winning Edits, which publishes the biannual magazine Hyperlink. Find us online at winningedits.com and get the latest episodes of Hyperlink Radio by subscribing via iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Visit hyperlinkradio.io to learn more. Again, that's hyperlinkradio.io. This episode of Hyperlink Radio is all about calling out the things in our lives that bring us joy, from the books we read to the music we listen to the movies we watch. But it's also about taking a moment, a brief moment in time amidst the chaos, to remind ourselves and our listeners that joy is possible, and joy is, if we want it to be, simple. Our culture can often get so focused on the big things, the big adventures, the big achievements, whatever. So before we get into some of our book and podcast and music joys, I want to explore a little bit of the simplest joys we may take for granted or may just go unnoticed in our lives. So the question I have for you guys, and I'll answer my question first to give you a little bit of time with this, is what's a small experience you have in your day-to-day life that brings you joy? For me, one thing I do every morning is go and feed the horses. I have two horses, and I go and feed them every morning and clean up their shit, and also call manure. And it's become sort of a routine, and we've had these horses for many years. And I think a perspective that is maybe easy to have is that sort of routine can become a drag. But lately, the past couple of years, I've really worked on trying to shift my perspective to consider that experience, those sort of 30 minutes, as more of really a gift to spend this time with these two really powerful, majestic beasts, you know? And it's become a sort of therapeutic experience for me, and something I even look forward to each day, even if I do smell like shit. So That's a sort of small joy that you know is sort of like my day-to-day routine, but has become sort of this joy. And so I guess my question to, I'll start with Sarah Jane, is what's a small experience you have in your day-to-day life that brings you joy?
Yeah, it's kind of funny that you said that, because mine is somewhat similar, although mine doesn't involve me getting out of bed too much. So in the mornings, my husband will leave for work before I usually get up. And he will take our dog Finn out. And a lot of mornings, Jonathan will open the crate to let Finn out, and Finn won't get out. He just doesn't want to get out of bed until I get out of bed to get him. And then he's immediately out. So it's like, he's just so excited to see me in the mornings. It's just this little bit of feeling very, very special before I even really start my day.
So that's adorable.
Very lovely. It really is. I feel bad for Jonathan, though, because Jonathan will sit there and be like, come on, let's go. And Finn is just, nope. So I feel kind of bad, but at the same time, I feel awesome.
Yeah, animals can have a way of doing that, can they? They really do. Yeah. No, that's a great one.
That's
How about you, David?
Well, first of all, I just want to say, that's I really like your perspective on your horse feeding. And it's funny, I was it, this is a kind of odd way to look at it maybe, but I was just thinking, what if you were feeding hippogriffs every day? I think because you said majestical, I thought of hippogriffs from,
Yeah.
Harry Potter. But like if you were Hagrid and you were feeding hippogriffs every day, maybe hippogriffs wouldn't seem so incredible. So I think perspective really is everything, because anyone on the outside would be like, "Holy shit, man, you get to feed a hippogriff every day? That's incredible." So that's awesome.
Yeah, no,
So my
that's interesting. I like that.
yeah, I don't know, just a random thought I had. But my simple joy every day is somewhat similar, because I think that, simple joys all kind of have this common thread in that they're all, well, kind of simple. And mine is just walking in the neighborhood with my son and my dogs, which I do every day. I feed and walk our two ungrateful little small dogs every day before Tyler gets home, my partner from work. And I put Emmett in the stroller, and I get the dogs, and I make sure we have poop bags, because that's happened before. And we walk around the neighborhood, and it's just really nice to even when it's pouring or not so nice a day, just to walk outside and see all the different houses and all the different yards, and there are lots of different trees, and just being outside and just breathing and like watching my son get super excited by a bird flying overhead is, I mean, it's awesome. So that's my simple joy.
I love it. That's a great one. Mindy Pants, how about you?
Yeah, okay, well, y'all know I'm gonna talk about my cats, because it's inevitable. So I have three cats, but the thing for me that is kind of fantastic. So mornings I don't like. I am not a morning person in the least, and mornings are really hard. It's really hard for me to get out of bed. And so I recently got myself an electric tea kettle to keep on my bedside table. And so when I wake up, I make myself a cup of tea to drink in bed. And as soon as my alarm goes off, the cats all rush in. And so I will spend the first like half an hour of my day with 1 to 3 cats on me, and I frequently send my husband photos of me. This morning it was a photo of me with his cat sitting on top of, like, right on top of my shoulder. And it's just really nice. It's a good way to wake up because mornings are very hard. I'm an insomniac. I struggle to get enough sleep, and so it can be very hard to wake up in the morning. And it's nice to sort of ease into it with a cup of tea and, a purring cat. The trouble is that then when you have a purring cat on you, like, why would you get out of bed, And so then I am tempted to call in cat to work, but I have a feeling that won't go over.
I
Call in cat.
call in
Call in
cat.
cat.
I haven't
Yes.
heard
So we
that.
have a rule in our household, that if you have a cat in your lap, that is like a legitimate reason to ask somebody else to do the thing for you, like to go get you something from the kitchen or to be the person who answers the doorbell or whatever, if there's a cat in your lap. And if both of us have cats in our lap, then we have to compare notes on whose cat has been there the longest, and the person who's had the cat the longest is the person who has to surrender the cat.
This is all very involved. There are a lot of rules in your house.
You don't want to disturb a cat when he's comfortable, because it's a wonderful thing.
Understandable.
So
Well, I
yeah.
love, yeah. I love that, Mindy. I think that's I'm not one for sort of quote life hacks, but that waking up with hot tea, like, and staying in bed is pretty amazing.
It's pretty great because mornings are hard, and I switched to Irish breakfast tea from coffee because it's easier to make. I can make it in bed. So now I drink Irish breakfast tea. Yeah. And sort of slowly come into consciousness.
I love it. Well, guys, thank you for sharing that. I think it is important to call out those little sort of everyday joys that we encounter, and just to voice them and to listen to them and sort of to hear about other people's joys is sort of an inspiration. And so, thank you for that. And sort of jumping off from that, we're going to talk before we get into like books and movies and podcasts and all that fun stuff. We're going to talk one more about just what's inspiring us lately. Does someone want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
I think I'm going to ask you to go first again, Noan.
Okay, fine. So, I have a podcast called You, Me, Empathy, as you guys know, and mm-hmm. I'm always so blown away by people's stories and their courage to tell their stories of trauma and abuse and failure and struggle. And I recently spoke with this woman who lives in London, England. Her name's Laura Hearn, and she had anorexia in her late teens and early 20s and has taken that experience and built a community where people share what she calls a jigsy. It's basically a jigsaw puzzle piece, and it's just like an online version of that, but it's basically they share a snippet of their story however they want to like conceive that, you know, in written form or collage or some piece of art that's a representation of their story. And it's become this, it's jigsiesplace.com. It's become this like really beautiful community of people who are just sharing and being vulnerable. And just this idea that Laura has taken her own story and is now helping others who have made maybe like experience the same thing. It's just so awesome. And I love that. I lately I've just been thinking more and more about like, I want to do more and more and more and more of that. And, you know, just give all myself to those types of, impacts on the world. And it's just very inspiring. So check her out at, Laura Hearn is her name, and her website is Jigsy's Place. That's JIGGSYSplace.com. So that's mine. Awesome. Okay.
Ooh, I've got one.
Yeah, Mindy Pants.
Yeah, so I have been super inspired, and this is a good podcast recommendation too, by Jonathan Van Ness, who is the grooming expert on Queer Eye, on the Queer Eye reboot. He has a podcast called Getting Curious with Jonathan Van Ness. And what is so amazing to me about this podcast of his, if you have watched Queer Eye, what is so fun about him is he is very much himself, you know? And what I love about his podcast is he is talking about really deep topics. He's talking about like the opioid epidemic. He's talking about the experience of women in the military. He's interviewing somebody on a particular topic, each one. He's talking about like, what is the current political climate in the Middle East? And he asks deep, insightful questions. And then, you know, the person will answer his question and he will rephrase what they say and he will compare it. Like the examples he will use will be like an Instagram celebrity or something, you know, like he is wildly swinging between these like super deep, serious topics and then really like sort of shallow pop culture fluff. And he does it so amazingly, and it is just so much him. What I love about it is seeing like, here's a person that you could take, like if you only sort of looked at them at their sort of face value, you would think that maybe he was just a really sort of shallow pop culture obsessed person, but he's a very deep thinker, you know, and he's thinking about big topics. And I love that juxtaposition. I think it's really fantastic.
awesome.
That sounds amazing. I really love that new Queer Eye show. It is inspiring, the show in and of itself, and I really like that guy. That's a great one, Mindy.
He's a very empathetic individual. It's so wonderful to hear him talk to his guests, and he cares very deeply that people get to be comfortable with themselves. It's wonderful. So I highly recommend it. Getting Curious with Jonathan Van Ness.
Cool.
I have purposefully avoided the new Queer Eye because I don't want to own up to how unstylish I am currently.
Oh, please. I think you're plenty stylish, mister.
I have really embraced like the bedhead lifestyle recently, and I'm okay with it, but I don't want to think about it too hard, you know?
Jessica, my wife, was watching an episode the other day, and there was this guy on from the South or something, and he was an older guy, and you know, he wore shorts, and he had a big mangly beard, and Jessica's like, "That's you, that's you," and I was like, "Yep, yep, you're right. She's totally right. If she ever dies or whatever, I'm just gonna be a grungy, gross old man."
Well, we have that to look forward to, folks. So in that case, Jessica, please keep yourself healthy.
Yeah, please do that, Jessica.
SJ, what about you? What's inspiring you lately?
Yeah, so mine is more personal. I had lunch with my mom last week, and I grew up in this really small conservative town in Southern Ohio, and I mean, super conservative. And my mom told me that she's working with a group that is starting a home for young single mothers who aren't necessarily able to provide for themselves and their children, where it's just a group of women in the town who are going to create this house and make it a free place for these women to live and facilitate them getting jobs and having childcare and all of these things. And it's just an organization that I never thought would exist in my hometown. And then to be able to hear my mom talk about just the passion that they have for it was really, really inspiring and just given me so much hope for the young people in my hometown.
That's amazing. Awesome. I love That's it.
Important. Yeah, it's super cool. And there were a lot of other things that they were going to be offering these girls, but it was just really incredible. I mean, job training and really just, I think the greatest thing they were offering them was acceptance of exactly where these girls are in their lives and not ostracizing them or pushing them off to the side and acting as though they are less than because they made certain choices in their lives. So just super proud of my mom and all of these women.
That's so fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very humbling to hear her talk about it and then feel like, well, maybe I should get involved with something like that as well. You know, just really challenging.
Yeah, that's so great. That's so great to hear that about your mom and that you were inspired by it and you know that you shared that with us. It's beautiful. I love it. Mm-hmm. David, yeah. Sir Trundle Bundle, what about you?
Yeah. So what's inspiring me lately? I think. So my original answer was not going to be on along the lines of content, but I'm assuming we're looking for something that's more
content
oriented, right?
Don't assume anything.
Not necessarily. Okay.
Whatever you want, man.
Well, mine is way more like selfish and
that's okay.
Self-centered than everyone else's, so I feel a little embarrassed. But so I have been like sort of recommitting to getting on a yoga routine. Yeah. So I'm doing yoga 6 out of 7 days a week, and that's my only workout now. But I feel like because I can only get in so much of a workout, yoga is the best option for me because it's also a sort of mind resetting practice, which I enjoy. But I have officially dropped myself back down to the weight I was at before I had my son. So I've stopped being a lazy dad, and it's just very encouraging to feel stronger in my body, and especially in my upper body, which has historically been really weak, and in my shoulder, which I've had issues on and off from working desk jobs my whole life, and sort of having those issues finally resolved just from kind of stretching it out every day has been awesome. So I feel really good in my body for the first time in a long time. So that's what's inspiring me to keep going. And yeah, I think I'm a little more relaxed as a person in general too.
That's super wonderful. Have you been doing that through classes? Are you watching YouTube videos? Where are you sort of getting the flows that you're using?
So I go to one class a week at a hot yoga studio. And usually the day after that class is my no yoga day because I'm so destroyed in the best of ways. But I usually will then take whatever routine I've learned in class and bring it home. And there are certain flows that I just generally like because they focus on like my problem areas, like my shoulder. And so I'll just do that at home. And then some days I have such low energy that I'll just do like 20 or 30 minutes of just really slow, long, like hip openers and things like that. So I kind of let my mood and how I'm feeling that day guide what I'm going to do as far as flow. But yeah, it's just, it feels really good to have a consistent routine doing that and to see results. Yeah.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. Really cool. I think it's important to find things that work for us. And I think what you said about how it's important to listen to our bodies, like when we're not feeling maybe the most energized or, you know, just not feeling it, just, you know, just adjust based on that. I think that's an important mm-hmm. lesson. Also, I'm just really excited about seeing your new hot bod in person. Well, guys, let's talk about some content, some like,
yeah.
Do you guys want to talk about some books, music? Let's just get it all on the table. What are some things that you're reading lately or listening to lately or what have you that you want to call out?
I'll go. I have been reading for like 2+ months now one book called The Silmarillion by J.R.R. Tolkien. Yeah, it is incredible, first of all, but it is super dense, and there are many names, and there are so many characters, and it's so expansive and mind-blowing, and some nights I will literally get through 2 or 3 pages because there's just so much to digest. But so I decided to read The Silmarillion because I've actually never finished reading The Lord of the Rings before I saw the whole excellent, incredible movie trilogy. So I read the first two, did not read Return of the King before the film came out, and have always felt bad about that. And so decided to delve into J.R.R. Tolkien's universe a little more this year because I find for his writing and his approach to writing basically through linguistics and history, incredibly inspiring. And, you know, the level of detail he's put into it, I want to suck up as much of that as I can. So started with The Silmarillion to sort of understand the backstory of his Middle Earth and where all those characters come from and kind of understand it all in a little more context before I then go in later this year and read the whole trilogy again. So, I mean, it starts with a literally, you know, a creation myth like you'd find in the Bible or another spiritual text. His creation myth is incredibly beautiful. The whole world starts out as song. So the void is just sound. And this song is created by this basically god. And then these demigods join in the song, and into the song are woven themes. And these themes are, you know, what will come and what is to be. So time and music are the same thing, basically, in the beginning of this book. And it goes all the way from this creation myth to how Sauron, who's, you know, the bad guy in The Lord of the Rings, came into being, and what came before that, and the lineage of basically every character that you find in The Lord of the Rings. And it's a lot to chew on, but it's been a great experience. So that's been my book of the year so far.
What a treat to delve back into Tolkien. I'm a huge fan, and I haven't read the books. You know, actually, I've never read Silmarillion. I don't even know how to pronounce that. I've read the original trilogy and The Hobbit a number of times, but I haven't since I was a teenager, probably. I would love to go back, because you're right. He's such a... His the way he works with words and his sort of level of knowledge around linguistics and history is makes his storytelling so rich and just one of a kind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you, Mindy Pants? Reading anything lately, or a podcast you want to call out, or music, anything you want to call out?
Yeah, so I've got a podcast that I have started listening. Well, I listened to the whole backlog in one sitting, so I really liked it.
Dear God.
It was only five episodes. So this podcast is Change Agent from Charles Duhigg. He wrote the book The Power of Habit. And this podcast is really fun in that each episode is him taking somebody's problem that they have. So, I'm struggling at this moment to think of what one of the problems was. He'll take somebody who has a problem, and then he will talk through that problem with the person, and then they will leave that problem for a little while, and they will go and listen to a story about somebody else. So another journalist will talk about a story that they have that they think is relevant to that initial problem. So like one of the initial problems was an HR woman who her company is a bike messenger company that delivers food. It's basically in New York City, you can order food. The bike messenger will go pick it up, bring it to the office. But every time it rains, like most of the company calls in sick. So what do they do to get people to show up, you know, on days that it is raining? And so then they will go and talk, look at this other story. So in that episode, then they went and focused on a program in a high school that was helping to sort of keep students who were chronically tardy to get them to show up for school. And then they bring that story back to the person who initially has the problem, and they attempt to implement the lessons from that story to solve their own problem to like varying degrees of success across the episodes. Sometimes it works a lot. Sometimes it only works a little bit. But it's really, really interesting because it is talking about building habits, which is a thing that I struggle with to build solid habits, but I see very clearly when I am able to like build a strong habit, how much it benefits my life, if you will. And so it's about building habits, but then it's also about sort of critically thinking about other examples, you know, so you have an example and sometimes the examples don't necessarily seem that obviously connected. And yet it really fits. And so I very much loved listening to this podcast, and I am super excited. I'm super excited about hearing more episodes.
Mindy, a question I have right off the bat. I imagine that through these episodes, there are a lot of similarities in how people handle or create new habits or, you know, take away bad habits. So what if there's like one or two big takeaways for either creating a new habit or getting rid of habits that don't serve you well, what are they, and you know, which ones have you learned?
Yeah, well, so I think what has just been really interesting about listening to these episodes is that the person, you know, who's attempting to change something has to be really embracing of that idea of change. You know, all of these people who are coming to Charles with their problems, they know I need to make a change and I'm ready to try anything you suggest. And I think that is really important. I have been thinking, you mentioned your daily yoga routine. I have been struggling to find a workout routine that is inspiring to me because I kind of don't really dig most like workout kind of stuff, but like it's just, you know, I'm just not a person who's super in touch with sort of my physical self, and it's hard for me to make those connections. But I recognize that, like, you know, anytime I run like a 10K, I super love running that 10K because I love being surrounded by people. I hate the training that leads up to it, or I'm not really interested in it, but I really love that day. If I can stay focused on how much I really love that day in the process leading up to it, it's really helpful. So actually, my husband and I have just decided that in September, we are going to run a half marathon together.
Nice.
He has run a half marathon. I mean, we'll run the same race. We will be running at totally different speeds, but he has run half marathons before and enjoyed it. I have run 10Ks. I've run them very, very slowly, but I really enjoy that day. And so I think I can stay committed to the training process if I have that sort of looming over my head, that like both potential really fun thing of running this race, but also the potential of failure. I really hate failing. So I will be using that as my motivation to keep going between now and September. So training starts on Monday, you guys.
That's awesome, Mindy. Good luck.
I'm excited. And it also helps now that I've told you folks, I can't back out now.
Yeah. Yep.
Mindy, are there running clubs in Minneapolis?
Yeah, there totally are. Paul. There's a really great one. Yeah, I live in St. Paul, but there's a really great one in Minneapolis called Mill City Running that my husband and I have gone to a few times to join. The timing is a little not ideal for his work, but it works really well for me. So I think I will be needing to go to some Mill City running clubs.
Nice.
And I think there's one in St. Paul. I just haven't sort of tracked it down. But Mill City Running is super great. They do a group run on Wednesdays, and then on Friday mornings they have a group run, and then afterward they serve pancakes.
Nice.
Ooh.
I love informal running clubs so much. They're just so much fun. Last time I was running in Pennsylvania, I actually accidentally ran into one, and it was a Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And they're like, "Hey, we have French toast and beer at the end of this."
Yeah.
And I was like, "This is the best."
That's running, super great. Yeah. Running is awesome. It's interesting because the thing that I love about race day is I take extreme enjoyment out of being alone in a crowd. I am what I would call an antisocial extrovert in that I love to be around people and not interact with them.
Interesting.
And so it's part of why I love malls. I know that that is a thing you're not supposed to admit, but I super love going to the mall and just like having headphones on and sort of being around a lot of people, but not necessarily having to engage with them. I also, once I get through the anxiety of like getting to my gate on time, I do kind of love airports nice. For the same reason. You know, it's a lot of strangers sort of being around each other, but not necessarily interacting. And the thing that for me is really fun about running, you know, in an organized race is it is a lot of people together, but focused on themselves. And so it's like socially acceptable for me to wear headphones and to be really focused, but I can pay a lot of attention to the people around me. I really enjoy that. The last 10K I ran, I was keeping pace with this man who had a photograph of a woman on his back, and it said something like, "Every step is thinking of you." And it was both very inspiring to be running behind him, but I kept bursting into tears because I was thinking like, that's probably his like dead wife or something.
Oh my God.
But it like was very inspiring for me. I was like, if he can do it, I can do it. Like, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. So anyway, awesome. So this podcast has been very inspiring. Change Agent by Charles Duhigg.
Cool. Nice. Yeah, thanks for sharing that.
Awesome.
How about you, SJ?
Yeah, so I have been tackling a book recently called Lincoln in the Bardo. I don't know if you guys have heard about this.
Yeah.
It came out last year. It's by George Saunders. Has anybody else read it by chance?
No. I have not read it. I think it's on our shelf.
Okay, so I'm about halfway through, and it's one of those books where like I like it, but there are moments where I can't pinpoint why. So it's a story about when Willie Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln's son, dies while Lincoln is in office. And so there's a nonfiction side to it where some of the accounts are from actual letters and newspaper clippings. But then there's the fictional side, which is you follow Willie into the Bardo, which is almost like this gray area between when you die and when you are reincarnated. It's a Tibetan belief. But so it's the story of the other souls that he meets in the graveyard, and you hear their different stories and the way that they are, their spirits are manifesting depending on like what was happening to them when they left the earth, or as they call it, the old place. So it's really just very, very interesting. Where Willie doesn't want to move on to whatever's next because he's waiting for Lincoln, for his dad to come to the graveyard, which in real life, Lincoln, I guess, went to the graveyard and sat vigil for two nights with Willie. And so George Saunders is kind of expounding on that real life occurrence. But it's just really interesting because all the stories that you hear and the things that the different characters take from those stories.
Wow. Sounds fascinating.
Yeah, I really want to read that. It sounds like if Studio Ghibli wrote a book about Lincoln. You know, it's just like that interesting in between metaphysical kind of magical realism feel that you get with like Spirited Away, and that's what it reminds me of anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the book is starting to open up a lot where, you know, Lincoln has lost his son, but now he's beginning to think of all of the other sons that are being lost in the Civil War, which is like a year underway, I think, if that. So it's very interesting. It has a lot of different levels. I like it.
How is Lincoln's character portrayed in the book? Is he very stoic, or what's he like?
So he's actually not in the book a whole lot. The moments that they do describe him, mostly when you see him is when he comes to the graveyard. And he shocks the other spirits because he does come back to the graveyard, and they describe him as he sobs from the moment he gets through the gate to when he gets to the grave. He is sobbing and kind of ambling along, like just lost in his sorrow. So, which is a very different picture than how you see him, you know, in history, you know, giving addresses and being presidential. You see these very, very personal and heartbreaking moments.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to reading that.
Yeah, it sounds very heavy, I know, the way I'm describing it, but it's actually very, very enjoyable and very well written.
Yeah, when you said the old place, I'm just going to take the perspective of that it's the Good Place fan fiction.
What is that?
The Good Place is a show on NBC
about the Good Place.
Ted Danson and Kristen Bell. It's delightful.
Oh, I do like Kristen Bell.
But it also deals with like sort of existential, you know, ideas and morality and things like that. So
it's essentially, this show is essentially an introduction to philosophy, in that you have a character, Kristen Bell's character. She finds herself dead and she is in the Good Place. Heaven and hell aren't really accurate. They have the Good Place and the Bad Place, and she finds herself in the Good Place. But she quickly realizes that she has been mistaken for another woman with the same name, and that she does not belong in the Good Place because she was a pretty terrible human being, and this other Eleanor was a wonderful human being. And so she is trying to figure out how she can stay in the Good Place and not have anybody figure out that she's the wrong person. And she is paired with you are paired with your soulmate in the Good Place. And her soulmate, or the soulmate of the other Eleanor, happens to be a professor of philosophy.
Huh.
And so she asks him, teach me how to be a good person. And so the series is her trying to learn how to be a good person, but constantly slipping into her old habits, and the sort of philosophical, you know, they talk about various concepts in philosophy that then fit with what's going on. It's fantastic. It has a great twist at the end of season one. You should totally watch it.
Ooh, yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's great. It's really good. Well, I'm going to recommend a book that I've been recommending, the last couple of weeks to people. It's called Everything is Horrible and Wonderful. It's by Stephanie Whittles Wachs. And it's a memoir, and it's about Stephanie, the author's younger brother, who died. His name is Harris Whittles, who was a writer and producer on the show Parks and Recreation. The creator of that created The Good Place. There's a connection there. So he died at the age of 30 from a heroin overdose. And it's basically Stephanie talking to him sort of after the fact, and sort of that's the perspective it takes. It's like she's speaking directly to him. So it's very moving and touching, and you'll definitely cry at times. I did. But it's also very funny as well, and it's just a reminder of how we live makes an impact on people. And, while he was a drug addict, he still was, a very functioning human who made a huge impact on the world of comedy. And, he just touched a lot of lives in very positive ways. And I don't know, there's something about it that, I think the week I finished that book, I went into my therapy session and I said something along the lines of, I want to be a tragic character to my therapist. And what I mean by that is like, I want to be remembered as someone who makes an impact on the world. And, if I go out, in a blaze of glory or whatever, that's okay. I just like, I don't know. The book is very inspiring. It's very funny. It's a quick read. And, the title's perfect, Everything is Horrible and Wonderful, because everything is horrible and wonderful simultaneously. That is what life is. That is what life is like living on this wayward pale blue dot. So go read that book. It's a good one.
Well, Kitten, just remember that you don't have to die tragically to make an impact on the world.
Yes, thank you. I my therapist reminded me of that, and I get
good.
Caught
we're on
in
the same team.
Yeah, you're on the same team. I get caught in this weird sort of place where I'm romanticizing my own life as I'm living in it, and I do sometimes sort of pull in the sort of romanticizing like the Hemingways of the world, who had manic depression and things like that. I don't know. It's my own sort of burden that I'm working on, but yes, thank you for that, Mindy. I do agree, and good sentiment.
May I suggest Mr. Rogers as a character to romanticize. Like, there's a nice, even, steady dude who made a huge impact, but
yeah, he's the best, and I'm super excited about the documentary coming out, I think, this summer about him, and
I used to walk by the radio station where he filmed every episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood every day on the way to class in college.
Wow.
It's a good guy.
That's awesome.
Actually, so you guys, related to Mr. Rogers, our boss, Matt, he grew up, the home that his parents own in Pittsburgh, the previous owner was Mr. McFeely.
Wow.
It's true.
That's awesome.
He lives in Mr. McFeely's house, or his parents now. His parents live. He doesn't live with his parents anymore. But he grew up in Mr. McFeely's house.
I hope they call it the McFeely house or McFeely estate.
It's this cute house in Pittsburgh.
Lovely. What else, guys? What else are you maybe listening to? Music-wise, or maybe a movie you watched, or theater, visual arts, anything like that?
Well, I am on a kind of an odd kick in music where I was. I really oscillate between what I'm listening to, but I went back and was listening to some Morricone scores just because he's a freaking god of film scoring.
He's amazing.
If you don't know, the composer who did the Bad and the Ugly and a couple of Quentin Tarantino films and a lot of stuff, lots and lots of stuff. Anyway, that, you know, because I'm on Apple Music and they track my listening habits, they recommended that I start listening to old Italian soundtracks from like the 70s. And it's just such a distinctive sound. It's hard to describe. It's like very romantic, but with these sort of like twangs of Americana thrown in. So they'll like use a little bit of electric guitar or just the way they mix stuff is sort of like a 70s rock band almost, but it's got this very Italian, you know, romantic, lush melody over top of it. I mean, and every score is very different, but yeah, I really love discovering sounds that you don't typically hear. That's why I like to listen to a lot of world music also, but just to hear a different kind of perspective on film music in an era in which I have seen zero film, like I've seen zero Italian mainstream films from the 70s, you know, but it's just it's interesting to discover different kind of musical stylings that were popular at a certain time. I feel the same way about bossa nova, for example, which was a very sort of niche of and very specific sound that was popular for a very short span of time, but I still love listening to. So anyway, that's been an interesting kind of musical side journey.
That's fun. I you know, I'm also a huge fan of film scores, and so I will have to check that out.
Yeah, I'll send you the playlist.
Oh, please do. What about you, Mindy Pants?
Oh, gosh.
I know you don't watch many movies, but any music? I know you're podcast in your ear holes all day long.
I'm just a podcast all the time. You know, the only time I really do listen to music is either when I'm running, because in that case, then I need a steady tempo, or my husband and I go to the orchestra a lot. We go to the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, and that is always really lovely. And so we spend a lot of time listening to classical music in our household because my husband is obsessed with Beethoven. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so interesting. I've been thinking about this lately because I am very out of touch with sort of popular music, and I'm really okay with that. And I remember being a kid, I remember being a teenager and thinking like, why don't adults listen to new music? Why do they always listen to like the oldies station? And I am 100% that person. I love Bob Seger way more than somebody, you know, way more than somebody my age should love Bob Seger, you know? And I listen to just a lot of like classic rock, that kind of stuff when I do listen to music. But a place where I've been getting a lot of music recommendations lately is a podcast that I listen to called Wonderful. That is from the Maximum Fun Network, and it's a husband and wife hosting duo, Griffin McElroy, who is that also part of the like super popular My Brother and Me and the Adventure Zone podcast, and then his wife Rachel. And the last few episodes, so every episode they each bring two things that they think are wonderful and they talk about them, and it's a super genuine, inspiring, happy podcast where we're talking about good things that we love, you know, like that. It's just such a wonderful, I didn't mean that on purpose, like it's such a happy, inspiring thing. And anyway, they have been bringing a lot of music recommendations lately, and so I've been listening to a few of those. But yeah, so my music recommendation is yet another podcast.
Well, wait, so what are some of the music recommendations?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, well, see, I knew you were going to ask me that question, and I don't even remember off the top of my head. It's so interesting. This is a conversation that my husband and I have a lot as well, is like, I was a musician, like, I play the flute. I was in marching band all through college. Like, I played a lot of music in my life. I don't have a good memory for music. He will listen to music and can remember the melodies, the harmonies, like he can internalize it. And then when we hear it again, he can say, oh, remember, we heard this at this concert, whenever. For me, it just sort of like washes over me. And I don't remember it. We even got into, like, the closest thing he and I have ever really had to an argument is he started playing music from a movie soundtrack. And I was like, what is this from? And he's like, you'll know in a minute. And I just kept asking, what is this from? He's like, you'll know in a minute. And finally, I was like, it has been 10 minutes. I do not know. I don't remember music this way. You're going to have to tell me what it's from because I don't know. And he was like, disappointed that I didn't like pick up. But it's just my brain works differently with music. But I remember spoken word, and like I can tell you when I drive through like an intersection, like if I'm driving and I drive through an intersection, I can tell you the podcast I was listening to the last time I drove through that intersection. Like I can tell you what they were saying in the podcast at that moment. That's, you know, like I remember spoken word the way other people remember music. So anyway, long story short, I don't even remember, you know, like it just, it's just sort of doesn't stick in my head, music that way. But, it was good. I think one of them was the Weaker Thens. A recognition. And I actually saw them live ages ago in, Philadelphia at the, World Cafe. Yeah, and a friend was in town and was super excited that the Weaker Thens were also in town. So we went, and I remember loving it. But again, like, I don't remember what the music was like. I just remember, like, it was a great time.
So they're anyway. Good.
Mindy, what was the soundtrack that you failed so miserably to recognize?
It was some Batman movie.
Okay.
It was one of the Christian Bale Batman movies, but I just I just didn't recognize it. You know,
I was going to say, if it was like, na, 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 you're like, what is this?
That I can do. You know what? And if I've played it, then I can remember it. If I've played the music, then it'll stick in my head. But if I haven't played it, I'm much less likely to sort of remember it, you know, unless it's a thing I've heard over and over and over. But that makes me think of, what music would you listen to if you were in a coma? What music should your loved ones play for you to help you like wake up out of that coma?
Ooh, like, oh, man.
What is the thing that would like, I have two things that would jumpstart me. I think I've always, the University of Minnesota marching band music, like just get one of those CDs and play them, because that like activates something deep in my brain, cause I've played it so much. And then, you know, the Green Day CD American Idiot, because like when that came out, I listened to it over and over and over and over.
Me too. And not since.
I went through my punk phase at age 27 because I am a late bloomer and a rule follower. But yeah, what would you use? What should your family members play to like wake you up out of that coma?
Honestly, Mindy, that playing music is probably the last thing my family members should do if I was in a coma.
Because you would like it too much?
No, because I feel like part of the reason why I listen to music is to fantasize. And I think that's why I got into soundtrack music specifically, was because as long as I can remember, I remember listening to music and I would always imagine stories to the music. So I think that if I was in a coma and someone played like the Lord of the Rings soundtrack, for example, I'd probably just think I was in Middle Earth, and that'd be great. I'd be an elf and everything. I'd be like, you know, living forever and, you know, shooting my bow and arrow. And, but I would not be coming out of that coma.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good
big
point.
Question.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of like songs I really love, and I'm kind of with David on this, but the first song that popped into my mind was Carole King's Pierre off the Really Rosy album that she created with Maurice Sendak. Have you guys ever listened to this album?
I haven't.
No.
I
didn't know that. It's amazing.
Sounds amazing though.
But it's she made it for kids, but you know, it's dark because it has Maurice Sendak's words. And the song Pierre is about this kid who just doesn't care about anything. And he doesn't care so much that, you know, he eventually gets eaten and dies and he still doesn't care. And it's very bizarre. And but I'm a huge Carole King fan. So that's the first song that came to my head.
Not Ladies of the Canyon.
Well, Joni Mitchell is also up there for my all time favorite artist for sure. So
still waiting for that skate video.
Yeah, well, you might have to, I don't know, might have to be a special Patreon for, I'm just kidding. I'll do it, I promise. I was just going to mention some music that I've been listening to. I definitely, like, connect with Mindy in the sense that, like, I don't listen to a ton of new music, but I do listen to a lot of new scores for sure. But one recent artist that I've enjoyed is Sarah Jickling and her Good Bad Luck, and the album is called When I Get Better. I had her on Yumi Empathy, and she is a delight, for one, and two, like, just a really talented musician, and kind of reminds me of Regina Spektor in some ways, kind of reminds me of Fiona Apple in some ways, has kind of a soul-y vibe. Nice. At times, has kind of like a poppy, you know, vibe at times, and is just a delightful listen. So that's called, the album is When I Get Better, and it's by Sarah Jickling and her Good Bad Luck.
I love artists along that vein. So I think I've listened, I think you already sent me her, but I will have to listen again.
Yeah, I think I did too. But yeah, I'm all for artists along that vein for sure. SJ, are you listening to anything that you're enjoying lately?
Yeah, so I was just laughing because I think Dave is going to tease me for this. In the mornings when I'm working, I like to listen to classical music. But I keep coming back to Chris Thiele. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him.
Oh, yes!
He's so wonderful. From Nickel Creek and Punch Brothers. Yeah, so he has done several albums of classical music, but he did a whole Bach album. Yep, and that's the one I keep coming back to, and I listen to it at least once a day. Oh, there it is.
I give a oh boy.
Sorry guys.
That just washed over me for a second and then it hit me. That album is so soothing. It's plus
so
one.
So good.
His skill is absolutely mind-boggling.
It's incredible. I saw Nickel Creek several different times when they would come to University of Kentucky, and they always finished their show by unplugging everything and inviting as many people as possible to the stage to sit around them. And they would take requests, but not just of their songs, of any song. And then the three different artists, they would switch instruments and they were all able to play the different instruments. But like watching Chris Thiele play, I've never seen anyone take so much joy from doing a thing. And it is just magical. And I think that's what makes his music so special, is that really comes through.
So, he seems, he just seems so delighted to be in music. So he is the new host of what used to be called A Prairie Home Companion, is now called Live From Here, which is based...
Oh, they changed the title?
They did. There was a whole sort of debacle at the end of Garrison Keillor's career, sort of after they'd made that transition. So this is based, this is out of Minnesota Public Radio. So it's essentially, it's just kind of down the street from where I live. And they record, when they're recording from Minnesota, they're recording from the Fitzgerald Theater. And so it is a topic of conversation in Minnesota households. But anyway, it's just been so wonderful to sort of have him become a part of Saturdays, you know, with that show. He's just nice. Such a gifted musician. But he also just seems so delighted to be around other musicians of basically any genre.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Sarah Jane, what I am asking for selfish reasons and also because I think everyone should listen to this. What is the name of that compilation group that make sort of compilation playlists of old funk music that's sort of forgotten.
Oh, Numero Group?
I think that's it. Yeah, talk about that. That was one of the coolest things you've ever sent me.
This is one of my loves. Numero Group is out of Chicago. And what they did several years ago is they started looking for old soul, but like soul music that wasn't really popular or mainstream. And so they would just go to like old estate sales and go through old 45s and old records and putting these together. And they started doing it location based. So the first record they actually put out was a Columbus based kind of playlist. And everything is put out on vinyl and it's beautiful. They put together these books that come with it. But if you guys, did you guys ever see the movie Blue Valentine with Ryan Gosling?
Oh, so heartbreaking.
No,
yeah, so, I did not. But that's the Derek C. N. France movie. Yeah, I never got to see it.
Saw that one right after a breakup. Cried like a little baby.
Oh, that was move. No, but the song, the main song from that movie, is called "You and Me" by Penny and the Quarters, who are from Columbus. But Ryan Gosling found that song by listening to Numero Group. At least that's what I've heard.
Nice.
So, but they put out all these. They have so many records out now. Like, just check them out because everything they put out is so wonderful, and they're just finding these little bits of gold of like old soul, and they do different kinds of soul too. But it's all just fantastic.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's a good place to start wrapping it up. What do you guys think?
Yeah, we've got a lot of recommendations.
So many recommendations.
Awesome. Well, for the listeners, all of the things that we mentioned will be in the show notes for this episode, all the links. So go check us out there at hyperlinkradio.io. And I want to thank my guests for this episode, David, Sarah Jane, Mindy Pants. Thanks for being on the show.
I hope that you put Mindy's name like that in the show notes, like Mindy Pants.
Mindy
like
Pants.
Her last name is Pants.
Oh, I will.
is Mindy Pants? If Pants is my middle name, that means I'm up to three middle names now.
Good Lord.
Who's counting? It's fine.
That's right. Just keep adding.
Well, we're going to close it out by all of us singing together Part of Your World from The Little Mermaid. Are you guys ready? Just kidding. Well, thanks, guys.
Afraid that you're
going to
do it.
Thank you,
Noam.
This season, we're sharing a link of the week at the end of each episode, an awesome corner of the internet that we've discovered recently. This week's link of the week is my friend and guest of this episode and Winning Edit's colleague, David Grabowski's website. It's David Grabowski, that's GRABOWSKI.com. And I wanted to give David a little shout out because he makes really amazing music. He's a talented musician, film composer, and podcast music producer. He's just a talent, and I love him for it. So go check his music out. It's at davidgrabowski.com. Thank you so much for listening to Hyperlink Radio. Next week on the podcast, my teammate Ray Sylvester explores net neutrality. The fight for net neutrality is not over. More than half of the states in the U.S. are taking it upon themselves to resurrect and protect net neutrality by crafting laws of their own. But the telecom industry and other net neutrality opponents aren't going down without a fight either. The fight is on. You can find all of our episodes at hyperlinkradio.io. And please do us a kindness and give us a rating and review in Apple Podcasts. It helps out the show. And as always, stay connected.